Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chris Jones in studio, chief theater critic over Chicago Tribune.
Howdy, howdy.
Wow, good to see you, buddy.
Always good to be here.
All right, so let's talk about this. It feels like there's thousands of plays just for this weekend for Mother's Day. I guess I never recognized that this is a big theater weekend or a big theater holiday.
Well, some of it is we've got these couple of long-running shows in town. So we've got Aladdin there at the Cadillac Palace. The Caddy Palace, as we like to call it.
Sure.
That's there through September. So that's there. I like it. It's for the kids, really. It's Disney, and it's a tour, but it's a fresh tour, and it's full on, you know, it's the full Monty. It's very spectacular. You can see your money on the stage, which I always say
that's good.
Always good.
That's good.
Always good. They take your money. It's good when you can see it. So you see your money on the stage. It's fast moving. It's fun. It's actually a better cast than the one in New York, I thought. So I like that. For the kids. For the kids.
For the kids.
For the kids. So that's A, option A. Option B is Hamilton. You know, good luck. Still almost impossible to get a ticket. Daniel Breaker now playing Aaron Burr. Still almost impossible to get a ticket. And that's going to be here a long time. So if you haven't got one, just relax for a bit. That's what I say about that. Then you've got Rent over this weekend at the Oriental. Sadly, a non-equity tour. They're all clutching their new BFAs in hand. And every bio reads First National Tour.
So you can even do that, a non-equity tour?
You can do that. You can do that. People don't know. And, of course, they charge the same amount of money.
I always
make it my mission to point it out.
Of course. I mean, it's a touring show, right?
Yeah.
It's downtown Chicago. You'd
downtown
think that would be
Chicago.
Equity, right?
You would think that. And, you know, and in fairness to these young guys, they're not bad. I mean, they're very good singers. But it's, you know, when it gets to the sort of the emotional part of Rent, it's trickier when you
don't have a lot
of
experience. Does that show hold up? This 20-year anniversary, right?
I know one thing. You cannot get a seat this weekend. I was messing around on Ticketmaster because I was just thinking, how much are they charging for this? And it's pretty much sold out. It's gone clean all weekend. I think Rent just means a lot to a lot of people. It's got a title that, I mean, it's a fantastic score. One of the greatest scores ever written for the musical theater by Jonathan Larson, who died. Horrible loss. It's really a remarkable piece. I just, you know, I've seen it a billion times.
And I was going to say, it's a show that shows up in colleges.
Yes.
It shows up in off.
Very much like the ones right here.
But I mean, in a good way. It's just really well. It's oft produced.
It's oft produced.
So what makes? I'm surprised to hear that the audience is clamoring to see it again. But it's a 20th anniversary, so I can understand.
Well, that's, you know, I'm always fascinated in show business by, you know, when you do your big project, Justin, you got to remember, the title is everything. Mm-hmm. I always say, greatest title ever. There's two titles that are really good. There's a play by Laura Eason that was here, and she called it Sex with Strangers. Sex with Strangers. Just the title. It's not really about sex with strangers. Yeah, it just has the title.
Right, right.
Everybody, most produced play in 2014. And the other one that I always really liked is this crappy little show called I Love You, You're Perfect, Now Change.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
Everybody's in a relationship who is, you know, convinced that the other person is trying to change them. So it's all in the title. So
the title would be Say It Isn't So, a musical based on and inspired by the music of Hall & Oates.
Very good.
Right? Done. Let's make it happen, finally.
Well, maybe just Rabbit, Where's My Geranium?
I'm going to get you, Rabbit.
I'm going to get you, Rabbit.
That's
I'm going to get you,
musical
Rabbit.
About my... So, two plans. Anyway, go ahead.
So they call it the 20th anniversary tour, and they can add another $20 on the ticket price. So that's what's going on.
Yeah.
If you like Rent, you'll be fine. If you like,
so those are all the downtown.
Got all that. Wait, not done. My Fair Lady still at the Lyric Opera, still going strong.
Snoop, I saw that. That was good.
Yeah, it was fine.
Richard E. Grant was on the show. Yeah,
a little on the dull side, I thought, but not
I
bad.
Saw. Did okay. I got to ask you about this.
Yes,
because we talked to Richard Grant about it, and it was interesting. I saw it because I wanted to see
it.
The show.
Yes,
I saw the musical. Before the interview, so I did it during the day, and I saw it with the high school groups. Right?
Lovely.
So the high school kids go to the Lyric to see My Fair Lady.
Yes.
There's a point in the musical, the famed musical, where Eliza storms out, says it's over, and walks out at the end. The crowd almost gets on their feet, screaming and cheering.
Yeah.
That Henry Higgins gets his.
Got his.
And it was not a normal kind of response because, you know, it's a kind of misogynistic musical from 1956.
And yes.
We get the whole concept, and I'm old enough to know, well, it was a different time when this was written.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was based on Shaw, who in his way, was trying to be progressive, ultimately, right. And he was trying to sort of undermine the British.
These kids, man, these 15, 16-year-old kids are like, no, this is not happening in my generation.
Not happening. It totally changed.
And Richard E. Grant kind of talked about the idea that was kind of the first time he's ever experienced that with My Fair
yes.
Lady. I mean, they were mad. They were like mad, like he was the villain.
Well, you know, the issue with that show is in My Fair Lady, you've got to know what Eliza's getting out of it. Like, and otherwise, the whole show really is a misogynist show. So I always think to myself, you know, in the ideal My Fair Lady, Henry Higgins got to be hot, got to be charming, mm-hmm. got to have a sparkle in his eye, got to be generous. You know, you've got to know what she is getting. Then I think that's one of the crucial things whenever you're doing that show. And it's interesting because these musicals, they do change over time and they get harder to play, as you point out, especially with the young generation.
Yeah, I just wonder. I don't know, you know, many more about the American standards, and I wonder how much that plays out where sort of, you know, stereotypical or through lines that don't play anymore socially.
Well, the problem is that some of these shows have some of the greatest songs ever written,
of course,
including My Fair Lady, and that's not the only one. So there's a load of titles that you go, the songs are great, but I've got to sit through that misogynistic book in order to get to the next song.
That's the title. The songs are great. ..
But that's very difficult. And then you've got that little tent. You've been to that little tent there at Soldier Field with the GGs, the Cavalier.
I feel like I'm the only one who hasn't.
You've not been?
I have not.
Posters say it's the greatest show of
best
all
show
time.
Ever.
Best show ever.
Best show ever. No quotes on that, by the way.
My kids were walking by. They're like, Dad, it's the best show ever. I said, uh-huh.
I'm surprised on that one that they could say
best
that.
Show ever.
Best show ever.
Let's just say it like that.
Yeah, I guess
Let's
so.
Just say it like that. I had this experience. I reviewed this terrible Broadway show, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Terrible, terrible show. One of the worst Broadway shows of the year. And they cobbled together a quote of mine where it would be me like saying, this is the most horrifically, you know, worst. And they literally, I can't think of the exact way, but they literally created a sentence where it was one word from it to make it look like it was a positive review.
Dot, dot, dot.
It was the most outrageous. The horse show, I believe you use there's like a Mother's Day thing. If you want 25% off, you heard it on WGN. I think you use the promo code MOTHER. You can get like a free ticket this Mother's Day weekend.
Oh, really?
And if your mom likes horses, it's a nice.
It seems to play. I mean, they seem to have got. I mean, it seems to be a show that's well talked about.
Well talked about. Yeah. You just got to like the horse. The great thing about the horse is the horse can stand. Unlike a circus where, you know, you got to have a trainer. In the horse show, the lights can come up and you just see 30 horses. It's charming. It's bucolic.
That's great.
See a little rabbit going around the side, too.
So those are all the downtown. Cavalier,
those are all the big downtown.
So
shows.
are there stuff in the off loops? Let's take a break because I stay on time here, and we'll come back and talk
all
about
right.
the stuff that you can see this weekend that's not just the downtown fair. Chris Jones, chief theater critic over at the Chicago Tribune, over at Next Door. Stay with us. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chris Jones, chief theater critic in studio tonight. We're talking about some of the Mother's Day Fair. We talked about the loop stuff. There's a lot of big shows.
Big shows in the loop.
Is there anything outside of Randolph Street and a tent at Soldier Field that we should be paying attention to?
Well, if you don't want to come downtown, you've got two good musicals going in the burbs. You've got Jesus Christ Superstar, soon to be NBC Live, out there at the beautiful Paramount Theater in Aurora with an all African American cast, doing a kind of, let's just say that the score is embellished. It's really a very different vocal interpretation, and I found it like totally fresh and fun, and it's great. It's kind of a gospel Jesus Christ Superstar. They certainly, I mean, the tempos are different. Many of the songs, many of the singers are fantastic. It's like a national cast. It's very, very good. A lot of fun, if Jesus Christ Superstar can be said to be fun, but it is kind of a good time.
That's always that, thought and it was that, fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Judas, what are you doing?
And this one is like, I don't know how to love it. It's, yeah, what can you say? And then down at the beautiful at the Drury Lane Oak Brook, or as we say in the trade, the Dreary Lane, there is Chicago the Musical. Now, you know, that's an interesting history behind that, because there was this production on Broadway still running, right? This is Chicago's hometown story based on, you know, a woman who worked in this very building, who all of the, you know, the murders in the show were real. They all really happened. She just pulled it out of her reporter's notebook, Maureen Dallas Watkins, who wrote it. But it's not been done here in like 20 years, because this tour and that Broadway show has wrapped up the rights. So this is the first locally produced Chicago in a long time. And the guy out there at Oak Brook, Bill Ossetek, was telling me, you know, he called every week to say, is it available? They go, no, it's not available. Call next week. And next week he would call again. Finally, wore the guys down so much, they're like, just do
that's
it.
How, that's
just
how it works,
do
right?
The show. Do the show. And so it's got a whole, you know, it's a lot of fun. It's got Ife Butler as Mama Morton, which is my favorite part of it. And it's a lot of fun. And, you know, it's just kind of nice to sit there and see local people do that. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. I kind of like that show.
You want to hear something?
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Here we go.
This and is... now, ladies and gentlemen, the keeper
good
of
number.
The keys, the countess of
this
the
this is
Clink,
a Mother's Day special for all your listeners.
The mistress of Murderer's Row, matron Mama Morton.
Here it comes. These are words to live by, Justin.
Ask any of the chickies in my pen. They'll tell you I'm the biggest mother hen. I love them all and all of them love me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good stuff.
Hang on a sec. Wait for the chorus. Here we go.
The system called
just this next line. Okay, coming up is the rule at my house. Golden rule.
Got a little motto. Always sees me.
Here it comes.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
Oh, yes.
There it is.
That's the truth.
It's hard to believe that
it
hasn't
Day
been
special.
Done. That's an interesting story. I would think that Chicago be done all the time.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah, it makes a lot of money for the people who stop it from being done. So that's kind of where we're at with that.
You know, I think about Chicago or Jesus Christ Superstar or My Fair Lady. I mean, and Rent, we just mentioned about.
Yeah.
I mean, these are classic musicals that come through Chicago, Chicago notwithstanding. That seems like all the time.
Yes.
Like, it's this idea, like, and I know that I even, like, I think there's there was another play I saw that's coming this summer, a musical, that I'm like, didn't they just do that? King and I.
Yes.
King and I's coming back.
Coming
and I'm
back
like,
the summer, yeah.
And I just, I wonder, because I'll watch the Tonys, and the Tonys will say best new musical, this, that, and the other, and there's new musicals, things like that. Are we not just, besides Hamilton and maybe Book of Mormon, are we just not interested in those new?
Well, I think it takes time. I think it takes time for a title to sink into the popular consciousness. It used to be that they would trot out these shows very quickly. Somebody like you or I would be like, oh, great, that hot new thing from Broadway. But they found they make more money, frankly, if they let the shows settle. You know, you let the Tonys happen, you do all the TV, you do all the media. And then eventually people, you know, really come to know these titles. It's that, you know, they call it in the business pre-awareness. People, it's very difficult to get somebody to buy an entertainment product that they know nothing about. They just, even if they've been told it's good, it's like if they know nothing about it, it's very, very difficult.
Is this the, I think it's this summer, Something Rotten's coming through.
Yeah, that's a fun show.
But I mean, will we see, I just think about it because Hamilton, of course, last year just swept the Tonys.
Right.
We're going to talk, we'll take a break here, but we'll talk about what's up this year in the Tonys. I mean, will we see those? I want to see I'm in Chicago. I want to see those plays.
All right.
I want to see those musicals.
I will assess when you will get to see them. If you will get to see
Chris
them.
Chris Jones, chief theater critic for the Tribune, in studio tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chris Jones from the Chicago Tribune, chief theater critic in studio. We're talking theater. It's been a while since we've talked, so we got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah.
The Tony nominations.
Tony.
A triple Tony. All right, so let's talk about... first off, let's talk about the Chicago shows that got nominations, because the only ones I really saw, and you'll probably correct me here, but was the actresses for War Paint.
Yeah, so War Paint, so if we look at the musicals, so you've got your new musicals, you've War Paint, which was here at the Goodman Theater. It's about, Helena Rubinstein, Estee Lauder, Patti LuPone, and Christine Ebersole. And they got nominations, the two divas in the show, but not the actual show. And they're up against Bette Midler in Hello, Dolly, and that's a tough.
What assignment. Does that mean for? We talked a lot about War Paint going from the Goodman and going to Broadway, yeah. and whether or not it's going to be successful.
Yeah.
If it doesn't get a nomination from the Tonys for overall show, does that make it not
well,
a success?
Well, it's not ideal. You would want to be nominated. Any new musical wants to be nominated for a Tony. It is worse to get blanked entirely, like the show Amelie, for example. It's closed. I think it closed last weekend or this week. No, next week. That is that got nothing. Nothing. So that's gone, baby. Just gone. Gone.
How is War Paint doing on Broadway? I mean, is
well, it's fine as long as those two women are in it. I mean, that's the reality of it. It's everybody.
They're Broadway stars.
They're Broadway
right,
stars.
Right.
It's a perfectly okay show. It's not a great show, but it's a perfectly okay show. And for the fans of those two great actresses, and for, you know, a lot of women of a certain age on the Upper East Side who are interested in, remember, Helena Rubinstein and Estee Lauder, they're interested in it. So I think that's okay.
Is that the extent of the Chicago representation this year?
Elizabeth Arden, I just said Estee Lauder. Elizabeth Arden, oh, yeah. I correct myself. Elizabeth Arden, Helena Rubinstein, yeah. So that's okay. The Tony is really between... I would say two shows. One is Dear Evan Hansen, which is a sort of a musical about a teenager, a sort of misfit teenager, 17-year-old. It's a very lovely show. It's about social media and teens, which
about that tonight.
Yeah, I mean they really make an attempt to talk about how social media blows everything out of proportion these days, and it has a wonderful performance from Ben Platt, who was here actually in Chicago in Book of Mormon Book of Mormon, you probably saw him. Really, really good. He played the funny sidekick and Elder Cunningham. And he's great, and he'll win the Tony, I think. But that show is up against the show called Come From Away, which is about the day that all the planes on September the 11th, after the attacks, when they pulled all the planes out of the air, many of them landed in Newfoundland. And this little town, you know, in Newfoundland, Gander, regular population 12,000 suddenly had 25 jumbo jets from all over the world with people worried and all the rest of it. And it's a sort of an inspiring show. You know, it is interesting. I don't think it's a great piece of art, but it captures the moment. Like it's Canadian. There's not been, you know, here's an interesting quiz. How many Canadian musicals have ever made it to Broadway? The answer is about three only. And this is one of them. And Canadians are very, you know, behind this show. And I think it's between those two. And then the third shot, a long shot, is probably Groundhog Day, which I like, you know, is a funny, that's the mute, that of course
that's
is
a musical,
the musical
based on the movie
that
wow.
was shot here in Woodstock,
yeah,
Illinois.
Right. I grew up right out there.
Harold Ramis, Bill Murray. It has nothing to do with that sensibility. Like, there's nothing in it. You know, I know a lot of your listeners are fans of Harold Ramis, and he had a certain sensibility that you do not find in the musical
right.
at all. You know, it's not a realistic depiction of small town Pennsylvania. It's kind of like Whoville. You know, it's a very comic show, but it's clever and it's not bad. So it has. I don't think it's going to win for a moment, but those three probably are the best three new musicals. And then the best revival, far and away, is Bette Midler. I mean, I have been, you know, I go to a show every night of my life, pretty much, or something like that anyway. And and I've never seen people stand up more. It was like they were on their feet. She said, hi, and they all stood up. I mean, it was crazy.
Wow. So do you think that's because the normal sort of Broadway goer has a history with Bette Midler?
They love Bette Midler.
They just love
her. It's like a worship. It's like the church of Bette Midler in there. And she's great, you know, and that show... You know, it's Bette Midler. What are you going to do, right? And she's you know, the night I was there, she had a coughing fit and couldn't start the song. And she got a standing ovation for coughing.
I mean, you know, right out of like
I'm
a,
like
a
nice work if you can get it.
Christopher Guest show.
Yeah.
Or a movie,
I mean, people
right?
were yeah. like, and she, you know, and then they gave her a glass
man.
Of water and she said.
She's like, let me drink this. Oh, yes, drink.
That's right. And then she goes, live, dropping character completely. Live theater, standing ovation. And then right before the big song, she goes, get ready, wish me luck, here it comes. Standing ovation. Then she does the song before the parade.
That's crazy.
Another standing ovation.
That's all. I mean, I can't think of too many actresses that could do that.
No.
Like that could get up there and be like, I hope my voice holds up.
Standing ovation. It's quite, you know, somebody was saying to me that it's called a reservoir of goodwill. It's what United Airlines didn't have.
That's a good point.
Of goodwill.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I think about the Broadway shows, and I feel more often than not, and I don't know if it's just because the world has changed in terms of media, but there used to be a time when you knew every the three Broadway musicals that were up, and you just explaining these to me, I feel like I gotta get it together.
You gotta get with it, man.
Like I just haven't been paying attention. But I mean, you go out to New York, you see these shows. I mean, is Broadway at the level that it usually is at?
It's been a good year. I mean, those shows make a lot of money. I mean, the thing about Broadway now is it's so damn expensive. I mean, get this. So most orchestra seats at Hello Dolly, if you wanted to go, just say in a couple of weeks,
sure.
You know, here's Chris Jones on the download telling you it's a good show. You say, okay, why not? I'll go. And you want a good seat, you're going all the way to New York. I mean, it's a minimum of $500. It really is.
What?
For one seat. And really, probably $700 on some night. I mean, for a really good seat. People pay it. And I think, you know, I actually blame Hamilton for that because I think it opened the floodgates of pricing.
Did Hamilton, I haven't paid attention to their pricing, but I'm sure they paid a penny to go see that show.
For a very good seat on a weekend night, you know, it's a lot of money. Now, you can argue, you know, I was at the Cubs on Sunday night against the Yankees. Sunday night, not even Saturday night, you know, and those seats for a family of four, by the time you're done, it's $600. But, you know, if you're in any... maybe even $1,000 by the time you've got your parking and your dog, and you know, a couple of those Goose Island Green Line, ten fifty.
Come on,
$10.
What's happening here? I know we're talking theater, but what's happening? What's happening to the world we live in?
$10.50 for that green line. Yeah, and really the game, you know, a good game there is most people are paying $100 a ticket.
Yeah, I guess so. But
so
it's still,
family of four is $500.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that you're selling an experience with a great seat to see Bette Midler and Hello
Dolly.
Yes,
that's
like an experience you're going to live for, like history. Your family can talk about seeing this show 5 years from now. So I can understand there being an added value to it. But the idea of ponying up for a ticket, one ticket, $500, $700,
it seems at a certain point,
you know, if Donald Trump wants to win over the populace,
yeah,
this might be where he steps in and goes, no, not going to happen. 200.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. You're fired.
You're fired, Broadway. Back to the question about Chicago.
Yes.
So it was just those two actresses that aren't really Chicagoans. They came here for the tryout, but there's no other sort of Chicago.
Well, the other person, yeah, there is one, a good one, and that's Laurie Metcalf.
Oh, right.
A lot of people consider the greatest American actress. A lot of people who I respect would argue that she is one of the very small number of truly great American stage actors working today, and TV actors for that matter. She's in a play called A Doll's House Part 2, which is a bizarre play where Nora, who's a character in this Ibsen play about a woman who leaves her wife in the Victorian era, she comes back and it's like a sequel. It's a sequel, basically. You see what happens when Nora comes back. Mm. It's a bit of a, you know, you've got to know the original play. Now, many of your very educated listeners will, but not everybody.
I don't know.
It's not a very well-known play. So, but Laurie's really good in it, and she may well win. She really may well win. And that would be great.
Tony's not unlike the Oscars or the Emmys. Do they play to celebrities? Meaning you'll get more celebrities that have a chance to. Laurie Metcalf's a celebrity in the sense that people know her, and they know her already from her.
From Roseanne.
But just from her reputation on stage.
Yes.
Do you get to a point where that helps her as someone who is?
I think it does. I think it does. I think, you know, speaking of reservoirs of goodwill, I mean, she might not be Bette Midler, but she's Laurie Metcalf. And I think she commands enormous respect in New York. Enormous respect, that actress. I'm always struck by that. Her and actresses like Cynthia Nixon, I think, is somebody else. Laura Linney, who also on Broadway this season. These are actors who are movie stars, but who stage people really know have got the chops to work on, you know, on live theater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris Jones, my guest here. All right. So before we wrap, though, before we go, the summer, shows? Like, what Broadway shows have become? I mentioned
Something Rotten.
Something Rotten. Which
King and I. Crickets in the room here. King and I is coming back. It's not that great, I gotta tell you.
Getting to know
Something
you.
Rotten.
That's all right. Getting to know all about you.
And then over in the parking lot of the United Center, we will have the Cirque du Soleil.
Okay.
Cirque du Soleil. So they will be here with their, you know, they're always good. You've been over there.
Yeah,
they're always good. They come about every 2 years, maybe every 2 to 3 years. They pitch their tent right by the United Center. That's coming in mid-July with a new show that I haven't seen yet, but I'm sure it's pretty good. So that's another, so that's a sort of big, another big summer attraction. Okay. So, you know.
Chris Jones, chief theater critic of the Chicago Tribune, joins us regularly here on The Download.
Always
Chris,
a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for being here, man.
Watch out for the robbers.